Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Donna Gift Show. I'm Donna Gift, a woman who's held many titles and has reinvented herself multiple times. And this version of me is a lifestyle entrepreneur and your host at the Donna Gift Show. And we are here to shed some light on a darkening world. Each week, we connect you with an inspiring person or message to help you love yourself enough to truly love others, bringing us back to human connection and raising the collective consciousness. My guests allow me to explore the depths of their mind and touching on topics that some might consider taboo. And we do get personal. It's your thoughts put into our words. And I really mean that. You could submit your questions and topics to www.donnagift.com and you might just hear it on the next episode. We love hearing from you and we're grateful you're here. And without further ado, let's dive into this week's episode.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Donna Gift Show. I'm your host, Donna Gift, and I have with me an amazing fucking comedian here in Scottsdale. I don't know why I said fucking. I really had to add an emphasis to it. It's Eric Bernal. Am I pronouncing your last name?
Yeah, right? Eric Bernal is that, yeah. It's Eric Bernal, Eric Bernal, Eric Bernal. Yeah. Eric Bernal is, I always tell people, it's like, imagine like you burn all of a house down. You burn all. Bernal is like, it's burn a weird it last name because like, on a resume, you don't know, like, what to expect. Because my first name is, like, Irish-Norwegian, then my last name is that. But,
yeah. Wait, what?
Eric.
Wait, Eric is a Norwegian name?
Irish-Norwegian.
No shit. Irish. Eric, I know, is black.
Eric.
Or Mexican.
No, black Eric, the what's it called? The where it's from, Eric is a very Irish name.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
I see. Yeah, Eric. Eric the Red. It's a Viking. It's like the original Eric.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's like the original. Yeah.
Some history.
History is my shit. So we can dive into that,
too. Dive into that, yeah. So for those of you who don't know him, he is based in Phoenix, Arizona, but he's originally from Sleepy Hollow, New York.
Sleepy Hollow, New York. Like
I'm not too familiar with Sleepy
Like the Headless
Hollow.
Horseman.
Oh, shit.
Ichabod Crane, all that. That's the actual town I'm from.
So is it actually haunted? Is it?
A lot of people go there for like paranormal activity.
That makes
like
sense.
It's like there's no better place to go for in Halloween. Like
that's like Sedona. You go for energy. But
yeah,
you go,
like, you go over there to like contact like your dead relatives. So it's there's even like a Sleepy Hollow Instagram that I find interesting because the graves there are so old. They're from 1400s, 1500. No, like early 1500s.
Wow.
Because I think America was, whatever, 1492 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like early 1500s. It was considered a village. They called the Village of Sleepy Hollow. And there's graves that are just unexplainable. There's like a person that was born.
What do you mean unexplainable? Like they're not in a graveyard?
There's a grave where the person died before they were born. Like the year that they were born was after the year they were dead. It's a wild. It's like, and no one knows what.
So it's like predicting.
Oh, I don't know what. I don't know if it could have been a mistake. It could have been. It's up for interpretation.
Is there more than one of these?
It's that one. They have a. They have like a graveyard of the unknown. So there's people. Yeah, it's shit like that. It's crazy.
See,
I have like
a,
I have ghost stories and stuff like that that happens.
Really?
Yeah, it's wild.
Are you pretty paranormal?
Oh yeah, I believe shit happens either because of connecting to another energy or like. Being hungover, I feel like, it's like an altered state, right? So I feel like you have to almost like have to do that to connect to that because, you know, they say everything's like a frequency. You know, we're probably on 98.2 right now, and all of the ghosts are here, but they're at 100.8. You know,
we're not on the same frequency,
although we're happening at the same time. But I believe in that. Like, I have a lot of stuff that's happened that sometimes I try to think like, oh, there's reason for it, like.
Yeah, I do believe that everything does happen for a reason.
Well, there's so much. I mean, when you die, you don't, you know, is it a energy cannot be destroyed or created?
Yeah, so that's why they say we're eternal beings.
Yeah, when you die, it got to go somewhere.
Yeah,
got really
that's
dark.
True. Yeah, I was like, shit. We went deep into the grave.
So death.
So So death.
Yeah.
What is it? Do we go to heaven or hell? I'm just kidding. That's not what this that's not what this podcast is about.
Could be. That's a good episode.
That would be a crazy episode. We'll have to bring you back for
I'm down. I'm life. All about it.
Or even we can get into that in the altar.
The Halloween version. We can like I could dress up like as a witch.
Like what? Why would I'm you do that?
Because like what other time can you do that? And it'd that's be like true. Kind of okay.
Yeah, it's acceptable. It's acceptable during Halloween. Okay, anyways, guys, let me go back to the intro here. We get sidetracked. I feel like that might happen a little bit. So he is the winner of the Arizona Foothills Magazine 2020 Best Comedian. He's traveled all over the country, headlining, featuring. I went into like a crazy research on your end too. I was like looking up all your articles and shit.
Did you see some weird shit?
Nothing weird. I did see on one of your articles, it says your pet peeves was
not being on time.
Yeah. And I was like, I was going to ask you.
That's why I messaged you and called you. I feel super bad when I'm not on time.
Why is that? Why do you think that?
I think I get like anxious. Mm. And I think like my mom used to always tell me like your time is precious.
Yeah.
So people also, if they don't respect your time, they don't respect you. So I used to think like that. But then like a lot of like girls I've dated, and I just think like, I don't know if it's a woman thing. I know I have a best friend that I used to have a best friend was never early to anything. Always was late. And at one point we had to teach him a lesson.
Really?
And yeah, we would always pick him up.
Wait, okay. How late was he? Was it like 5 minutes
it
later?
It was just always.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Let's say the movie started at 8. It takes 15 minutes to get there. We got there at 7:40. Hey, you got 5 minute cushion. It'd be 7:50. I'm like, hey man. And he would send his girlfriend downstairs to sit in the car so we couldn't leave.
Okay, that's the word.
Now, that we're young. At one point, my cousin was the one that was driving. One point, he was like, hey, man, I'm going to leave you.
Yeah.
If you're not here on time. He's like, okay. But it's always the same thing. Comes down and sends down the girlfriend, locks the door. He goes, you can come in when he gets down here.
Yep.
And he said it, and he looked at the time, gave him even an extra minute. Bye. And then from there on in, like, the thing is, like, and that's, I don't know why, it really frustrates me. It frustrates me, like I didn't know how far you were from me. I thought I looked at the GPS, I'm very timely, I'm very, like, I'm going to do this, because after this, I got to do that, and, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's why it's always, like, pissed me off. And I think it's good for comedy, because you got to show up on time for shows. You cannot be late.
Oh, that's true.
Like it kind of leads into now.
Yeah.
Like, my mom always told me, and I'll reference her like a million times probably, but she's just like, if you had enough energy to party last night, you got enough energy to be at school or at work on time. Mm. So you better have that same energy almost. Like, she was on it, like, that phrase a long time ago. Yeah. One time, okay. I can understand. But if it becomes like a, I'm just late all the time person. I'm
like you adopt that as your personality.
Like, I think, and then I looked it up and I realized that it's kind of like a condition. I was like, no. You could get ready. And then the thing for the fact that there are people I have to lie to when things are supposed to be at.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Oh, like they make up a crazy story about why they're late.
Well, no, like, let's say I know that you're late all the time. Let's say.
Yeah.
And I say, hey, dinner's at 8. Please get there at 8. But dinner's at 8:30.
Okay.
Because I know you're late.
Yep.
And then, but here's the thing. Sometimes someone will catch on to that, like, well, he's always, and then it'll get me mad.
And
I don't know why that is. It's like a stupid little thing, but I feel like we all have these little idiosyncrasies that kind of like, you know, make us mad.
They kind of tick you.
Yep. Oh, I knew a girl who, I remember we were going over, we're all going to have like a get together there.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought like, let's say White Claw.
Yeah.
And I put it in the fridge, you know? And she was like, we do not put cardboard in the fridge. And I was like, what? She was like,
I've actually never heard of that.
She was like, that is for animals. And I was like, all right. But it's like, here's the thing. It's her place. Cool. Then I'll do it because it's her place.
Yeah.
But I bet you it's deeper than that. I bet you like for some reason.
It's a control thing.
I think almost maybe it's taught too. I bet you her mom told her like, hey, cardboard doesn't go into the fridge.
Mm.
I remember all my life, you know, my mom worked two jobs. So I always ate with a spoon for everything. And then when I actually went over like some of my other friends out there are like, dude, what are you eating with a spoon for? I'm like, what? This is normal to me.
Like then, chicken? I'll eat chicken with a spoon.
I'll eat everything with a spoon.
Yeah. I don't know. But I feel like, do you think that's just from having
it's not cultural a too.
Class? Okay.
It's cultural too.
I was going to say, because I've never seen my white friends do that.
No, but I know like the Philippines is definitely like straight spoons. It's yeah, a spoon culture. Like spoon culture. Which in all actuality, it's easier and it's more practical in a sense. I think the fork thing comes from like...
It makes like sense for
spinning. A dinner setting looks better that way.
True.
You know, you can't really scoop a salad with a spoon. Okay, that. How many times are you preparing a salad?
Yeah.
And then giving it. It's like that.
That would be difficult to spin.
Oh, it's like when I used to be a waiter for a little bit when I was in high school. And like someone would complain that there was no lemon in their water. And my first initial reaction was, is that how you drink water at home? There's no fucking way you drink water at home like that.
Some you're
just
people
doing,
do.
You're just doing that. But for majority, they only do that at a restaurant.
That's true. That is true.
It is like a hoity-toity thing of a request. And also a thing to be mad about, because I can also get you lemon. It's not a big deal. It doesn't alter the way the water, that you could literally just put it in.
Some people just like having something in their drinks, like cannot drink straight water. I used to be complete opposite. I can only drink water.
I love water.
Yeah. I'm a big water fan, but then I started dating Dylan, and he drinks nothing but mixed drinks all the time.
Like mixed drinks,
lemon,
what?
Like fizzy drinks or like lemon drinks.
He likes something with like something. Flavor.
Yeah, something with inside of it.
Like his woman.
Yeah.
Hey, yo!
That could be it.
I was trying to get it there somehow. But yeah, no, it's true. But that could be from somewhere too.
Yeah.
I know people who are so sick of water because let's say, all right, I had a friend that went to Iraq, right? Mm-hmm. And this is early on, like early Iraq. And I remember she said that she could only, at one point, only have water. And she'll throw Skittles in there just to get some kind of flavoring.
What?
Right? Just like, because that's all she just had available to her.
Okay, that makes sense.
So when she came back, she was like kind of repulsed by water a little bit. It reminded her of another time.
Oh, wow. So
like I said.
That's like when you have a bad association with alcohol.
Yeah, like and alcohol, where it's like the smell reminds you of a time. That's kind of like smelling a cologne or perfume on someone where it brings you back like, holy shit, that was the idiot from 11th grade. You know, like
brings back those memories. Yeah, word.
Cool.
Have you ever read The Untethered Soul?
I actually bought it
last
week.
Oh,
believe
yeah.
it or not, somebody recommended it.
So before we started hitting record on this, I was talking to Eric and he was saying that you read a lot of material about relationships and things of that nature in order to get your material.
Yeah, because right? some of it is nonsense.
Yeah.
Some people just like whatever. Some of it is really practical. I think like one of the things I learned was, and I would read it and it would either be something that I could relate to or my sisters or my friends.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember one thing I read was, it was a question. You had to answer it. It said, were you at fault of your last relationship being the breakup? Mm-hmm. Most of the time people say, no, it was not my fault, right? It's somebody else's fault. But let's say you're honest, you say it's your fault. Basically, in the book, it explained how it's always, at some level, your fault. Whether it's the other person's 99% their fault, and it's 1% your fault, that 1% is the part that you need to focus on and change. What they need to change, that's on them to figure out and everything else. But there is something. For you to walk away from a relationship and think that you were not any problem at all, now that's a problem in itself. So, like, I started learning this. I was like, oh, damn. Or, like, you know, I have a sister who had a kid and she, you know, didn't work out with baby daddy and... I was reading this book while, like, you know, it just so happened to be. I don't know if it was, like, serendipity, but she said almost, like, word for word what this book was saying, that's how some women with single kids talk. And she was saying, I was like, why don't you go date? Why don't you go, like, you know? This is my sister. I want her to be happy, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't want to date. All I care is about my kid, and my kid is all I need, and that's all I need to be happy. And that's it. I'm okay with that. And in the book, which was written by a woman, she says, what a burden to put on your kid to make you that happy.
Because they're going to feel like they're responsible.
They're like for to have that responsibility to make you happy, lady. That's what I told my sister. I'm like, look, your kid's going to grow up and get old and leave your house and you're going to be alone. So, and also having a partner isn't the worst thing to, especially a good partner in his life, whether it be delayed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works out differently for everyone. And then, no, she was like, oh my gosh. And when I said it like that, it was just like, and it's all about how you word things. That's another thing how I've understood. You can say two things to your partner, you can say the same thing to your partner in two different ways and get two different reactions, although the same message was sent. So, with her, she was like, but I just don't care about my life anymore. All I care is about my kid. It's a very likely thing that people say. This was years ago.
Okay.
And she was like, I just don't care about my life. I was like, I read this in the book. I know what comes next.
Yeah.
I said, all right, cool. Let's say that that's okay. Let's just say you think that's okay. She goes, I think it's okay. Cool. You love your son? She's like, yeah. You had him when you were what, 21? Yeah. Imagine your son at 21 has a kid and says, Mom, I don't care about my life. Damn. All I care about is my kid. That's it. Your reaction would be, I didn't give birth to you for you to give up on your life at 21.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're right. I was like, well, then imagine how my mom feels when you say things like that. Mm-hmm. So with reading the book, yeah, I get funny anecdotes of like, one thing that like I always laugh when, like I used to date a girl who was a mother, right? I think single mom is a weird thing to say when you're dating someone.
I gotta hear about that one.
I think it's weird to say because you're not single. You're with someone.
Mm.
You can say mom life.
That's true.
I think when you say single mom, it almost looks like you are available.
Oh, like you're putting up a, hey, like,
well, single mom,
yeah.
I'm available.
Yeah.
Single, let me tell you something. If I had a kid and the girl I was with and I posted at the gym single dad life, she would be upset. Oh, it's the same shit. Oh, it's the same shit. Oh, absolutely. What you're saying to the world, and there's almost like a, and there's almost like a fetish to single moms.
There is. Same with single dads.
So, but changing that to like mom life, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, but I understand the whole, there's a movement behind it too. So, but I make a joke about it. I'm like, damn, I'm in a relationship, but this girl I'm dating is still single. She's still a single mom. You know, like, it's a weird thing. But I read that in the book and how, like, it was same one I was, like, reading to my sister and how basically she was saying, like, how would that make the man you're with feel? You publicly stating,
single, yeah.
Always saying that you're single, you're doing this by yourself.
Yeah, so wait, hold on. What do you call yourself when you do start dating somebody?
Your mom.
Okay, so now that you just call yourself a mom.
Well, that's what
right.
You are.
That's true, yeah.
You're mom.
So
you're,
when you add the single
your mom forever.
It,
single mom sounds like there was no man in your life.
Yeah, okay.
There's no partner sense. In your life.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was like, damn, I'm picking up the bill for four dinners a week when we hang out. Like, I'm not saying I'm a stepdad or anything like that, but you're most certainly not alone.
Yeah.
And so it's like a weird thing where it'd be like, well, no, you know, and it's funny because me and her would argue about that. We were together for 4 years, that girl, and whatever. But it's like I said, you could pick, that's why I would read to get funny shit out of because, but then it'd be bogus stuff.
Yeah.
Because then you'll see like, oh, this writer is coming from, there's an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You should praise the land that your man walks. It's up to you and only, your life is only as it matters as much as his life does. And stuff like that, which is like, okay. Like, you know, right? But like, you can see the way it's written where you're like, this is funny.
Yeah.
Because there are things that are like that. And it's like, I'll make fun of my sister one time when she was single. I mean, just an update on that. My sister did meet another guy.
She did.
They've been together for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
They had another baby, and he's the nicest dude I could ever think. Like, it's almost like I don't even know why he likes her. Like, she's, like, she's like, not the greatest.
Oh.
Just kidding. No, she's sweet, but like, she's bitchy, you know?
Yeah.
And, but he's so warm to her.
Yeah.
So nice. And that's the thing, like, you're not going to get it right the first time, as we all know, typically. Yeah. You know, it's almost a requirement to get it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, no, that's where I dig it up. And honestly, comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
The same relationship that I talk about to make y'all laugh is the same one that made me cry at one point. Same one that made me upset. But after a while, once you're able to laugh about something that bad happened to you, it means you fully have gotten over it. It's like your therapy.
So you're not, like, when you go through these things, these darker times, are you immediately turning into material and jokes?
It takes time.
You have to wait till you're over it.
I literally, now that I have been comedian for a few years now, it's like almost a requirement to see the brighter side of like even like a dark situation. That's the job of a comedian. That's why I think a lot of people get things, they go, you shouldn't talk about that. And to me, that's the reason you should talk about it, is to bring levity to a situation. It's to be that guy. I was watching a podcast and this dude goes, you know, I'm not the guy that at your funeral crying with you. Let's say your dad passed away. I find out that day. I'm not the person calling you that day crying with you, because you're going to get that times a million. And it almost kind of does the opposite of what it should be doing.
Right.
It's like you almost get frustrated. He goes, I'm the guy 2 days later going, hey, sorry about your dad. What are we getting in the will? You know, how can we get rid of your creepy sister? That's what he said. And typically when I do that, my friend goes, oh, you son of a bitch. Like, you can see that, you can probably hear their voice. They've been crying. And they go, man, I needed that.
Like, I needed some fun.
I needed that. Even if you're making fun of a, it's crazy, right? Making fun of a death, right? But it's not. It's making light of a situation. That's our job, is to bring levity to everything. You can't go to a comedy show and expect us to bring you to the right direction of the Lord. You know, like we're there to make fun of things, be absolutely wrong, incorrect sometimes.
Yeah.
Reckless.
It's just your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, like, think about Kevin Hart. I never really understood his special, Laugh at My Pain, until I went to it. I was like, oh, Laugh at My Pain.
Yeah.
Because I bet you that stuff used to make him, used to kill him at one point. And now he's gotten over. Now he can laugh with you. So
during that process, like while you're creating your material around these, because it's obviously you say you get over the time, you've allowed yourself to heal.
Yeah.
When you dig it back up again and put it into material,
what does that revisit? Process? You revisit the feeling.
Yeah. Does it hurt?
No. It's kind of
like an aha moment.
It's kind of like, you know how an actor has to cry for a scene and they got to reach for a thought or a memory.
That's like really personal to
and
them.
And boom, they turn on the waterworks. Yeah. And then afterwards, like, we got it? Cool. It's just something that you can tap into. Mm. If you can tap into that, it's great. It makes it, think about it. I say the same joke hundreds of times. Yeah. And I have to make sure that when you hear it, it's as if I'm saying it the first time. So it's a little bit of acting. It's a show. It's theater.
Yeah.
It is theater in a sense, you know. We're up there where majority of comedians are very insecure. You know, majority of comedians, let's talk about just men, don't do well with women. Maybe this is their way into doing that. You think they're so confident on stage. And after when they get off stage, you'd be like, damn, that person was like really shy. It's because they only feel alive up there. Now, that's not everyone. That's some. Then you'll see like women who are in comedy, they feel like, some of them that I've spoken to personally, it could be anecdotal, but it's like, man, I was kind of shunned for a little bit to speak up. Now I get the time, I can talk all my shit. You know, it's almost like at this time,
like,
too.
Free.
Also, at this time, women kind of feel more freer than ever to say whatever they want.
Yep.
In comedy. Now, in real life, too, is that great? I don't know. Time will tell. But, you know, like, that's all it is. It's about tapping into a feeling, getting over it. And that's the thing. Like, I have a friend that passed away that was, I mean, we were 19 when he died.
Dang.
My boy Daniel. And he was in a vehicular manslaughter. And the kid that was driving was our boy, too. It was a whole mess, man. Aww. I used to cry for years about it. The other day, I just remember him busting his ass one day on the snow. And I laughed so hard. And I was like, damn. I was like, I'm over it. Like, it's almost like, not that I'm over him, and people think that if you laugh, that means you don't care about the person anymore. It's just no, like, they're finally having an opportunity for you to be like, yeah, you see, I want you to think of me and laugh, not think of me and cry. I'm glad you're finally at that point, sort of thing. So, same thing with your own personal experiences, you know? We've all been done dirt, and we've all been dirty to people.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend that we are good people,
true.
All of us.
Yeah.
We are good and we are bad, and hopefully we are better than what we were, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's all, like, I get from those books. And like I said, some of them are fucking obnoxious. Even the woman one with, like, what did Nikki Glaser say? She goes, you know, there's always that book, girls, in the front of the cover, it's like, written out in period blood. That's what says. She's like, it's all like, be that baddest bitch you can be. You know what I mean? It's like, some of the stuff is good, and some of the stuff is like, okay. Like, same thing I can say for guys, too.
That's what I feel about feminism. And this is probably going to get me into some shit.
That's the best part. Feminism. That's what we can clip.
Yeah. I want to talk about that.
Let's do it.
Quick, since we're talking about that.
Let's do it.
Okay, don't get me wrong. Obviously, mm-hmm. I love women empowerment and everything and, like, supporting other women. But there is some shit. There are some lines that need to be drawn, I feel like, with feminism. They turned it in from empowering women to hating men. And I'm not...
But also hating other women.
Yeah, and hating other women for being the feminine or, like, sexual. They hate
it, it's hilarious because what it became... Some women became so feminist, they're so manly.
Yeah, it's like we're not even...
You want to know why? Because think about everything that women complain about men about. Yeah. Objectifying their body, right? Mm-hmm. Men objectify their body, use them as sexual toys and without care.
Yep.
Right? Actually, statistics show that when women introduce a man amongst their friends, like, hey, this is the guy I'm seeing.
Yeah.
There's more critique on his height, his teeth, the clarity of his skin.
That's so true.
What he does for work.
Yep.
When a guy shows a girl, like, yo, it's like, oh shit, she's cute, man. Oh, was she cool? Yeah, she's cool as shit. All right.
That's true.
That's literally what it is.
You body structure.
And that's the thing with anything. You become, you hate the thing so much that you go the other direction to the point you meet it at the other end and you become it. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is what it is. Like,
wow.
No, seriously, it's like, I use this as an example because I have a sister who's very boss, like, you know, even as kids,
just
was
very
always
masculine.
Very just like, I don't have to answer to men. Like, I don't know what it was, but something. Like, in high school, right?
Too.
Right? Yeah, so high school. But the thing is that we applaud that, but if we say for men to just say whatever they want to women, we tell them that they're crazy and they're hostile and maybe a predator.
Mm.
I think, so I'll give you an example. I was, what, 19? My sister was 16. So 16, I mean, hormones is flaring in a woman. You know, she's getting approached by grown men, young men, everything. She's at her most insecure about her body, probably.
Yep.
So just a lot of things going through her mind. So I would label my sister at that age very, like, feminist-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I would come, you know, I went to college, I'd come home, I had my own apartment, but I didn't live far. I'd come over, and I would always just come over just to help my mom out, see what she needed, whatever. I'm a single mom. Real single mom, like, she don't date anyone.
Not mom life.
No, she was like having dudes on the side going, so I'm single. So I'd correct her, too. No, but she, I'd walk in, I said, Mom, I'm going to go to the bathroom, wash my hands, whatever, before I go eat.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was kind of doing something, and she said to my sister, hey, why don't you fix your brother a plate? That'd be really nice. And she goes, what do I look like, his slave, his woman, his this? That's demeaning to women. About, like, she was the rant.
Yeah.
I heard it from the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a little bit longer. She goes, my mom just flipped out and said, excuse me? Excuse me? That's your brother. He's still a man. So that's how my sister was either absorbing that information somehow or whatever.
Yeah.
But it got to her. But it was fixed in the same way, because you treat hostility with hostility, you're going to get more hostility.
Yeah.
My mom was like, hey, when you were 14, 15, there was a boy bothering you. Didn't he show up? You told him he showed up with all his friends?
Mm-hmm.
Was he a slave to you because he did that? He did that because he loved you?
Yeah.
Guess what? When you're done fixing that plate, he's going to clean his plate. He's going to take out the trash.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because don't think it's demeaning. Love is a give and take.
Yeah, it is.
He doesn't have anything on you. You don't have anything on him.
Mm-hmm.
You love him. Just because you do something for someone doesn't mean that you're beneath them.
Yeah.
You
it's
know what
an
I mean?
Act of service. It's an act
you're,
of love.
You're, there's going to be a bug in here. He's going to kill it for you.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. Not because you own him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I get that. That's something that was killed really early within my sisters. Now it's very much like, hey, bro, what can I get you? And then to me, it's always like, hey, do you want to go out to eat? Like, I'll pay. It's my mom explained give and take.
Yeah.
And now it's interesting time because I'll say it just the way I say it to you. And a lot of women who are like that, they're like, fuck, I never thought of it like that. Mm-hmm. And it's good because the thing is that it's good to have a conversation without being confrontational too.
Yeah.
You got to be able to, like, have a conversation without saying, you're wrong, you're a man, yeah. you don't know anything about women. It's like,
you gotta be able to receive the punches if you're gonna try and throw them too.
Like,
you know?
I'm here with y'all. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so like, what's another one? Like, when, and you know what's so crazy? If you look back to the feminist movement, there was this woman who wrote this book in the late 80s, early 90s about women go get a buzz, don't have kids, don't do this. Those women are now like attacking her and saying, you made me freaking, you made me not have a family. I'm in my late 40s now.
Yep.
And I'm super alone because of some type of rhetoric that you thought because you thought, and then you got enough momentum and then we all believed it with you.
Yep. I don't believe that every woman should be this boss babe independent girl. I think some women are great in the house and taking care of the family and doing
something wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. I completely agree.
There's a reason why women are more compassionate and men are more aggressive physically. I mean,
well, you think back to the old times, like, you guys had a
what we had to do.
Yeah.
What we had to do. Hunters, you know, you're over there gathering berries, making elixirs, helping us heal ourselves. It's a give and take. So for people to be like, you know, like, oh, guys are such shitty people because they want to take care of us. Like, it's a weird thing. So it's like, I remember I read something the other day and it was like my little cousin posted it, 19 years old, like just a kid, 18. Mm. And he just said like, when I grow up, I want to make money. The first things that will come out when I make it is now I can take care of my family. Girls my age, when they make money, they say, I don't need a man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two different almost like views on it. Different which is like, what is the... You know what I mean? Or it's like another good one that I heard. Women typically who have great fathers will always say they want a man like that father. Mm-hmm. Why not? Took care of you. Respected you.
Yeah.
Great advice. Probably great communication. But if a man says he wants a woman like his mother, there's a problem. I'm not your mother. You know what I mean? So, and the thing is like...
Oh, that's so true.
How awful is it that I can't... You can request someone like your father, but I can't request someone like my mother.
Yeah.
And not saying that it's a bad thing. I think you may be thinking, because I reference an older woman, you're thinking of past times, and then it's correlated to this. And I get it. Nothing was perfect. Men cheated. You know, women definitely were more quiet. And that's... Yeah. Just as an update... It's not like that no more.
We're not.
And that's fine. and there are changes that needed to happen. But I promise you, demasculating the person that you're with is never going to give you the man you want to be with.
No.
If anything, it would be easy to conquer him and do. Yeah. But that's short-term. That's short-term shit.
Even then, you'll lose him. Like, there's a hard lesson I learned very recently, because I mean, you met me before I even met Dylan. I was just a very masculine woman. I mean, feminine in my nature, but very masculine when it came to taking control of things. And I was a realtor. I was just living that life. And it wasn't until I started dating Dylan, he softened me. I started to see more of the, like, okay, oh my God, I have such a love and respect for men. Mm-hmm. He does take out the trash. He does do all this shit for me. Yeah. Like, the shit that I don't want to do. Like, and now I feel like I've gotten a little soft, but it's okay because he enjoys doing it.
You want to know why? It's because... innately, biologically, you're responding to natural things in your body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want to, without a protective survival.
And without outside interference.
Yeah.
That's like the worst shit, is to have outside interference. Like, let's say, like, guys are horny, right?
Yeah.
Because we're just as horny. No. We're meant to want to be with you so freaking bad.
Yeah.
Because innately, it's to procreate, now it is done... For pure joy, and that's cool too. Mm. But you almost shame the guy for even wanting to do, not you, but just some people do. They shame that person to be like, how can you, you know, I'm not a toy. And there's like this comic, shit, I really wish I knew his name. But he said, you know, my wife thinks all I want to do is have sex with her. That's not the case. I love my house, okay?
Yeah.
I love my house. I love my bathroom. Let's say the bathroom is sex. There's more to the house than just the bathroom.
That's true.
But let me tell you something. It would suck not to have the bathroom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's, and a lot of men can't communicate that well either. That thing, it comes off aggressive, which they'll need to work on too. But like with me, that's where I've learned. I'm like, you don't understand. It's not that's the only thing I want. It's just that it couldn't be a bigger compliment to you that's what I want from you. And and again, dudes, could we be the most fearful thing after sex? We're like, whatever you want. What do you want to do? You want to go to bed? You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? And the thing is that you're saying, after going through this thing of kind of being the boss, whatever, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
To me, what's wrong is making any partner feel bad. So if the guy makes you feel bad, you make the guy feel bad. There's something wrong in that.
Yeah.
Where you feel like some type of domination needs to happen. We feel like we have to be a certain way. We have to say certain things so people don't get mad. Where if you said exactly how you felt, you'd be happier and you'd get the results you wanted. Like, all right, you have a dog.
I do.
I have a dog. You know why they call a dog's best friend? I'm a history buff. Mm-hmm. So the history of the dog, which started with the gray wolf many, many millennia ago. Okay.
That was their version of
so house it dogs. Was the first well it was the first interaction between animal and a human where kindness advanced the civilization. So what I'm saying is that happened over thousands and thousands and thousands of years, where now I remember there was a talk about it and how like they literally became they were the reason why we were able to sleep through the night at one point.
As humans, because of their warmth.
Their warnings, too. And they're alert. You see your dog when I can't. That's inside her. She's a wolf. That's why she acts like that.
Oh, I know.
She acts like that because innately that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, like, and what I'm saying is you felt, you said, like, oh, you showed your certain side. It made you come on this side. It feels good, right?
Yeah.
They say the experiment can be same within you, a man and a dog.
Yeah.
A woman and a dog. Walk. Go somewhere safe that you can walk with your dog outside where there's no one around but just you and your dog, off leash, and sense the connection that you two have. It comes from a long time ago. And I thought it was BS, to be honest with you, and then I went ahead and did it, and we were in Stoner, we were like deep into something because I wanted to try it out. And for the fact that he just kept looking around to see what was around, like he... You know what I mean? He knew that I had his bag. He had my bag. And that person ended the speech. Like, it really messed me up because he was like, that's why your dog would, if it needed to, it would sacrifice its life for you.
Yeah.
It'd kill itself for you.
Oh.
I was like, damn.
Dogs, I know. Damn.
But what I'm saying is connection.
Yep.
It's connection, right? So I'll probably make fun of myself later on about just even saying that. But but it's true, like, when you...
We're designed differently.
Feminine... Yeah, you want to be feminine? But what is that? Like, there's like so much, also so much interpretations of the word.
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, masculinity, right? That's a whole other thing, too. I'll tell you this. In comedy, it was never the most masculine men that were the predators. It was always the one that was like, we're for women. Anytime I see, like, a male feminist, I almost start thinking, like, why are you so gung-ho about this? What's going on? Think about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby used to call other comedians, Eddie Murphy, tell them that they were foul-mouthed, they shouldn't use words like that.
Yeah.
And he would call individuals all the time and tell them how they were doing it wrong, how they weren't doing it clean.
Yeah.
And now we come to find out is because he was living this whole other life. What masculine men do to me, for me, I think they keep the creeps in check. You know what I mean? It's always a masculine man is like, yo, no one's touching my girl. Like, what? It's like, and I was seeing this thing on a clinical psychologist was talking about it. It was like, in history, there's always men who will be, you know, psychopathy. You know, there'll be psychopaths and there'll be narcissists and they're typically more feminine. They're more...
Because they're driven by their emotions.
They're also very persuasive. Do you know what I mean? They're also very persuasive. It's always the masculine. It's like, yo, what the heck is this? What's going on? Something's fishy. Something doesn't feel right, you know? Imagine that guy that was always like, yo, your guy friend likes you and got it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I'm not saying that being super macho is like the best thing in the world, but there is a place for that percentage of it. To me, there is something for it where it's like, anytime only history tells that story. Think about anyone who's like super like, you shouldn't be doing this. And then like we find out years later, they were doing this whole other thing, getting other people pregnant, you know, politicians, all this stuff. And
so, I think it's more just heightened emotions. And again, that's a feminine nature too. I mean, our emotions, right? Like not being able to control them. But I think, the psychopaths are the people are the ones who are just not able to control their emotions.
Well, think about the dudes that shoot up places.
Yeah.
They're typically men that can't get women.
Yep. They're alone. They're not communicating.
They think that women are the problem, actually.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But it's because I feel like I have a joke about this too. I was like, if we just let prostitution be legal, like no one would shoot shit up.
It's not legal. So
give me your friend's card. No, it's true. You look at other places. I visited Aruba and I found out that prostitution is legal there.
I did not know this.
Yeah. When I went, it was because it was a little bit post-COVID, although they still had restrictions.
They were more open though. For sure.
More restrictions. But when I spoke to them, I was like, yeah, it's legal. They go, yeah, when COVID happened, they had unemployment because they pay into the system. Mm. It takes the danger of being that person because it's regulated. Your pimp is not a pimp. Oh, it's just kind of like your manager.
Yeah, you're
and
not
takes you to
the
hospital, make sure
shadows.
You're okay.
Yeah.
You're safe.
It's an actual place of employment.
Where, like, it's also women who want to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's women that want to do it. And a lot of these places that prostitution, it's so fucking weird, this conversation where it went, but prostitution does lower crime rate. It's fucking wild. I mean, it's so, and it's a small percentage of men that do all these heinous shit, shoot people up and shit, whatever. There's millions of men and there's, what, a couple, maybe 100 people, you know, that do these things. And we don't know how to attack it either. I mean, mix that plus a false reality of what the world is through social media. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
God, that is so true.
Let these hoes be hoes, yo.
Let them be hoes. Let the hoes be hoes.
Yo, feminist.
Do you think that the media is kind of persuading us to be more isolated?
Yeah, I think.
That's why the whole feminist and masculine and movement and all that.
It almost looks on purpose.
I think it is, honestly.
It's like men against women.
Yep. I feel like they've
I've never seen it like this. I'm 35. I've never seen
men against women
like
so
this.
Much. Yeah.
And then there's slowly the retaliation of men about it now.
Yeah.
Where like men, like we were talking, like, you know, just let them say what they got to say, you know. We'd be quiet because it's like what I used to tell an ex of mine. She would scream at me in public.
Oof, that's never
acceptable. We'd have an argument. I don't yell. I'm not a person who yells at people. And I'm like, hey, can you please stop? Mm-hmm. And she would yell. But the reason she yelled is she knew that no one was going to come to my rescue.
Mm-hmm.
If I yelled at her, somebody would call the cops. Somebody on my side hit me on the side of the face. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. I could be in the right all I want.
Yeah.
So there's societal things that I've already been in place where it's like, and yo, for sure, protect women. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's very important to do all of that. But to say like there are things in there that make us go like that is someone's vibrator outside. Shit. That's like a really
this cool, is on like the fucking power 10.
That's like a really good Dave Attell joke about vibrators. I just gotta say it. He said, why do women love vibrators? He asked the crowd, like, I don't know. Because it sounds like a man who's listening.
That's fucking hilarious.
It's a great dude. David Tell is one of the best comics that's ever lived. He's ever walked this place. Yeah, he's amazing.
I've been watching Crazy Comedy again.
Oh, yeah, gotta watch
it. Season.
It's a good release.
Yeah. Do you watch a bunch of comedy shows?
I watch a lot of comedy podcasts. It's all right. She's getting her shit going. No, I watch a lot of comedy podcasts only just to keep my ear to the streets and see what's going on, what's advancing.
No.
Like, because I'm going to, you know, I had a podcast previously with a co-host and we decided to, you know, to finish that. And then I'm going to go back on it. But I think to me it's more
I was
school.
Say, yeah, you did have a podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was nominated for Best Podcast in AZ.
Holy shit.
Yeah. We didn't win, but it was nominated. It was cool.
What was it? What was it called?
It was called Nobody Knows Nothing. It was originally Noel. Well, probably no one calls her that. But Noe's... it was originally her podcast. She asked for like a male comedian. We did about, I don't know, 30-something shows, maybe 35 episodes.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was awesome. I had a lot of fun.
I liked watching the clips from
it. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. And then, she decided she wanted to do it on her own, which is cool. Because now it made me rethink, like, maybe I want to do my own. And then, like, listening to comedy podcasts, I feel like I got the blueprint. That's why I was like, questions, we can go through questions if you want. But what I've seen successful is just like, let's just actually talk.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, you don't want to be Barbara Walters. You know what I mean? Because you're not dead.
I honestly, like, I get tired of the super, super deep conversations all the damn time.
Shout out to Barbara Walters. Yeah, no, it's just about having fun, dude.
It's a combo, yeah.
It's like, okay, like, what happened to you? What? How could it be related to really anything? See where the conversation goes.
Yeah.
I think those are always the best. I've seen it where, like, I go to a podcast, I'm like, all right, 1,000 people are doing this.
Same shit.
We got to stand out.
Yeah.
Like, I look at all my friends who do podcasts, I go, you guys are agreeing too much.
Yeah.
That shit is not good for clips.
You need to have some good conversation.
Like, you need
I just watched a clip about how, like, just be polarizing. Like, fucking express yourself and not be afraid.
Well, being polarizing is being you, though. Because you're not going to satisfy everyone.
Right. It's impossible.
Well, it's like this comedian, Whitney Cummings. Lovely, beautiful. I hope to meet her when she's here in March. Because I'm doing 5 shows with Giannis Pappas. Low-key plug, March. 31st.
By the way, I'm editing your video right away so that I can give you proper promotion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just coming out Wednesday.
Sure, so then I am Thursday, November 16th. February 16th, I'll be at Mic Drop Mania, a new club that just actually opened in February. Very
September,
nice. 100-seater.
Right?
It's a Snow White-themed comedy club. It's got 7 items on the menu for the 7 dwarves. It's beautiful. I mean, shout out to Dave Specht and Casey who made that happen. It's a beautiful place, and honestly, downtown Chandler needed a place like that, and just a different spot. There's 2 rooms. One room seats 100. The outside room seats 75.
So is there going to be 2 shows going on at
could,
the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be very L.A.-ish.
Yeah.
That's what L.A. does, where they have multiple rooms.
No, shit. I didn't know that they did that.
It just opened.
Oh, shit.
It just opened in February.
I want to check it out.
And then March 16th, I'll be producing a show where I'll be headlining. I have a guy that goes by Big Fudge. He'll be headlining.
Oh, my gosh. I know him. Well, I followed him because of your show, which, by the way, you host other comedians.
Yeah, I just did.
Which is very unique, I feel like.
I just did. Yeah, I did 5 shows with Chris DiStefano.
Yeah.
End of January. That was awesome. 5 sold out shows. Shout out to Chris DiStefano, man. He is like our third time us teaming up together. And not that he necessarily needed me to sell out the shows, but my friends came, so shout out to the people that did go. But we did a theater show. So, like, and I think it's just important just to say this because you want to be the comic that one is good, honest to the craft, but also good to other people. And it's not about Chris DiStefano, man. He's a super dope dude. I remember when we first linked, he asked me, like, yo, what's like your dream? Whatever. I was like, oh, there's like this theater in my town that I was raised in.
The Sleepy Hollow,
called the Tarrytown Music Hall.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, on Main Street? And I was like, yeah. He goes, I'm performing there.
No shit. So you got to perform at your...
I got to perform in my hometown.
That is
like
cool.
250 people come out. It seems like close to 1,000.
How did that feel for you? Is that nostalgic?
It was wild. I think I've only been in that place one time as a kid. I don't know, 5th, 6th grade to watch the Nutcracker.
When you were there in the stage as a kid, were you like, I'm going to be up there someday?
I just looked at it. I was at all just performing. I always liked people who perform, like
in just theater.
Oh yeah, like my mom. We used to take trips to Manhattan, and I would just see street, you know, performing, dancing, singing, whatever it is, card games, scamming, you know, like everything, you know. So
scamming.
So it was a lot of scamming, prostitution, drugs, whatever. A lot of things I became numb to, but it was wild because I remember, again, Chris is the man. His road manager Tommy hit me up. And was like, hey, do we need to get you an Uber? can we send you a car to go pick you up for the show? And I said, I'm staying at my aunt's house. I'm a 5-minute walk away. And it was just wild, just kind of like getting ready. And I was with my videographer, shout out to Gatsby. And he was like, you ready? I was like, yeah, let's go. And he kind of just followed me with a camera walking. This is the same walk. The whole five minutes. This is the same walk I would make from my aunt's house with my cousins, my cousin Christian, just to see what was going on in the town.
Yeah.
Literally, we would probably spend all of 1 second to look at the music hall and be like, huh, that's there. Look who's coming.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, like, we'd be like, oh, the people are coming here to perform. You know, never did I think that I was going to have the opportunity. I remember when he told me, he was like, yeah, I'll put... Yeah, you open for me then. Let's do it. I was like, okay. And I like went to the bathroom and I cried and shit. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's amazing. And not to give too much like behind the scenes stuff, but I remember we were done with our shows in AZ the first time. And he was like, what's your Venmo? And he sent me a good amount of money. For the show in AZ. We had done sold out shows the first time around. And I was like, dude, you just paid for my like mortgage and my insurance and my car note. And it was wild.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's what you tip when you make it, okay?
Oh, wow. Pay it forward.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, yo, it's a lot. Yeah, I go out. I like to party. I like to drink. I like to do all those things. Yeah. It's simmered down a bit. I still like to hang out with my friends. I still love all the people that have supported me, like, big time. Like, people I didn't even think that would. Yeah. And it's nice because it was the first time I think I could think that being a genuine... It was the first time I could become myself. Mm. And I was like, oh, people accept this. But I don't have to pretend to be anyone.
Yeah.
Like, if a week that I just don't have any money, I could be like, hey, dudes, I'm broke.
They're like,
okay.
Yeah, because you can
I used to think there was like a condescending or like a judgmental thing as being a man and also like portraying I'm doing all these shows, but like I got other shit going on. Like, you know, I have family that needs assistance. I do a lot of things on behind the scenes. And I think it's important to be like, holy shit, like it's good to have people that fuck with you because you're you.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, the men who receive attention have something to offer to their friends or their family or their girls. And then the girl, if she's really hot, you know what I mean, really good looking. I can almost feel it in girls sometimes. And that's a question that maybe I have for you. I'm going to throw it back to you.
Do it.
I think it's interesting because I like people watching. So I'm at the bar. I like to see people.
Yeah.
Let's say there's a group of friends. But for some reason, the guys want to just post a video with this one friend, a female friend, which happens to be really good looking. You know what I mean? And I think at some point, she just feels like, all right, there's like other girls here. You can like, they're all our friends. Like, why is it just me?
Yeah. Like, why are you?
Because then I feel like then the girls are looking at her like, yo, bitch, like, what the hell? Like, I mean, from the outside looking in, do you ever feel like that? People are just like posting you just... Like, where it's like, okay, hey.
Just because she's cute. I will say I have
been... Got to.
I have been used to get into clubs on multiple occasions.
Same.
And it's so hot. Yeah. Name, prestige, or just a look. I mean, looks for women.
Status.
Yeah,
it is. It's all status.
Mm-hmm. It's so... But you can feel it when somebody's using you for that reason.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I remember... Literally 2 weeks ago at the sold out shows, people I don't even know
are just trying to like.
Like they're like, I kind of know.
Yeah.
Sort of. They see other people who had come to the show. Now, because those people went, now that's the cosign for them to be like, oh, if they went, then those people work here. And that guy's worth this. And this girl is this much followers. She's featured on that. He's featured on this. And it becomes like, are you fucking with me because you
actually believe
it? Believe me? Or is it because like it would be a cool thing to be a part of?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I think that's something that, you know, I love Scottsdale. Love it to death. It gave me a lot. I'm just saying Scottsdale, not so much, not even like the party part of it. I believe just the people I've met who don't all live there.
Yeah. Just Scott
Sumner. Just support. just the people that I've met and have supported me throughout the whole thing. And without that, I'm truly shit. Like, I literally say, I have a repost that I always post. It's old tweet. It goes, thank you for everything. Sincerely and clearly, I ain't shit without y'all. So let's never make that a secret. Like, I think a lot of people think, like, what in whatever they do, they go, oh, yeah, self-made. But it's like, self-made, yes. But
with your supporters.
With your support. There's always that day one who just was like, dude, I mean, I remember, you know, I know we want to talk about how we got into comedy, but I had a girlfriend, the same one that was a single mom for the whole time. And I remember I went to go see one of her friends perform, and she was like, oh, yeah, that's my friend. I'm like, okay. I didn't think he was that good at the time. I'm sure he's way better now. It's been years. And I was on our car ride home. I said, you know what? I think I can do that.
You could be on stage.
I think I could do a comedy. I think that, and it's kind of inspired me to see someone, you know, locally go to LA, come back and headline at, you know, at the clubs out here. And she said, it was like, oh, of course, come on, you can't do that shit.
Kind of like shrugging you off.
Like, she's like, come on, you'd be horrible at that. Yeah. Like, Eric, it's one thing to be funny with your friends, which is true. She's like, but let's be serious.
Yeah.
And I believed her. So that to me was always a big lesson. That's why I always tell people, like, oh, people said I suck. What do you think?
Yeah, do you feel like you suck?
Do you, and again, don't be fucking blind to the fact that maybe this ain't for you. That's one thing. But without even trying, I know people are like, no, someone told me I shouldn't. And I share that story. I always say, look, my ex told me this is not fair. I would not be good at it. So I didn't do it. Because typically, when you love someone and they love you too, you take that word. You're like, you know what? Maybe they're right.
Yeah. Think, why would they want
to? They could be onto something. Right. You know, they and it took me 3 years after that to start comedy.
Really?
A friend of mine, shout out to Albert, 2-time Emmy Award winning filmmaker out of Mesa. Fucking just amazing. And I met him through like a girl that he was seeing, was my friend. And then we became friends, closer even than me and her. And he just hit me up like on Tuesday at 1 a.m. just going, yeah, I'm watching Netflix, man. I'm like, okay, is everything all right? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's like 1 in the morning on a Tuesday. Like,
yeah.
He's like, you should do comedy. I don't know
what's... Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Holy shit. I don't know what's telling me to tell you this, Eric, but you should do stand-up comedy.
Damn.
And I was like, oh, yeah, but I was still living in, I felt like him at one point, but I had it shut down. So I was still living in that shutdown mode where I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Didn't have the belief in yourself.
Sign up, we'll come support. So in comedy, when you first start, you do these things called bringer show.
A bringer show?
A bringer show is you have to bring a minimum amount of people to perform.
Oh, shit, you got to bring your own crowd. Okay.
So like... the one I was a part of, it was, shit, so many comics. Maybe 15 comics.
Holy shit.
Everybody got 5 minutes. And you had to bring 10 people each or you couldn't perform.
Damn. 5 minutes, too. That's it.
So to bring people, you know, and all of them had to drink minimum. Now, the only benefit is that they'll say, hey... The ticket is waived for them. They don't have to pay for the ticket.
Oh, okay. So it's just a packed house. But I mean, obviously, you're still going to buy it. Yeah. But, you know.
I brought 62 people. I brought 62 people.
62?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And then just that early on, I was like, oh, shit. People are kind of like, fuck with me in general, I guess.
What happened? Did they start paying you when you bring over the minimum?
It's crazy. So, because I was so early on, I didn't know how to ask for, like, time on stage.
Yeah.
I remember I was working at a bank for, like, many years. I remember, like, I was like, I went to a booker. I was like, can I give you $200 and can I go feature this Saturday? And they're like, dude, that is not how this fucking works. Come be like, here you go, fucking $200. And I thought, like, I could buy my way into it. It was an idiot. I sounded stupid saying it, but that's okay.
You should be able to do that.
But you know what? It's cool that I love that the guy didn't accept the money. Mm. He was so in love with the craft that he was like, no, you go do work, Eric. You hit the mics. You perform for free. You wait for hours to perform. Sometimes you may not even perform. And when I hear that you've been all over the place for a couple of years, then maybe I will reach out.
Damn.
Best thing I was ever told to me. Because then I started doing things and I was getting booked. And then I said, but then the entrepreneurial myself came out and I was like, I can book myself.
Yeah.
I just need a venue.
So you started reaching out to people or?
Well, then the pandemic happened.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then
I didn't try to do Zoom comedy sketches.
I did one and it was like the worst day of my life.
Did you really? That was a joke.
It is the stupidest thing. I mean, I killed, which is crazy. Because I just
hold on.
I literally made fun of everyone on the screen. I'm like, you guys are such fucking losers at home watching a Zoom comedy show. You guys should be either finger blasting yourself or fucking going actively and getting COVID, you dumb idiots. I know the majority of you women are here because of the host, who is my friend who's hosting this, is big and black. But he only has one dick and he can only stick it one place. And I got mad.
Really?
And I just kept going, and people were like, I could see their face, and I'm like, fuck this digital bullshit. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. Light yourself on fire. And I was like, rebuke whatever fucking God you believe in. I was just, and I said it like that, and then I started realizing, like, oh, there's a power in the way I speak sometimes, just kind of coming off the cuff.
Yeah.
And I never did crowd work. I solely did, I did a drive-in movie theater show.
Okay.
It's kind of different.
That must have been interesting.
It was interesting because I'm always thinking, how do we make it better? How do we make it more than just a driving movie?
Yeah.
And I remember, before I met you, before I met a lot of people we know.
Yeah.
I remember went to the owner that was running. I said, yo, I need the first 8 to 10 spaces in the front of the stage reserved for me. He goes, what? Like, yeah, no one can be there except my people. Okay. He's like, all right, well, they better buy. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna buy. Cool.
Yeah.
I said, how do we make this better? Fuck it, let's make it a car show.
Oh, along with your comedy show.
So people had to pull in. So I had my friend came in with his McLaren, the other one with the Lambo, the other one with the Rolls Royce, the other one with the Beamer, other with the Benz, other with this.
This is like a rap song.
Like other with the Benz, chilling with my friends. Fuck all y'all.
Pull in the drive-in.
Hey, hey.
That's actually the new
thing. Clip it. There goes the vibrator again. No, so my whole thinking, dude, and I feel like we maybe have similar thinking because creatives are creative.
Yeah.
I always just look at like, all right, cool. People are doing that. That's fine. How do I make this better?
More fun.
Because people came out of their cars and were like, what cars are those? And they came over and took pictures.
Really?
I made it more eventful for them. I made
it
worth their money.
While you were doing your...
No, people had to get there and wait, right?
Got it.
For the show
to
start.
Oh, so they had something to do.
So I was setting them up.
Ah, smart.
And then there was a guy actually that was doing interviews with a long mic because of COVID.
Yeah.
He was doing a long mic. And it was just like a ridiculous time in our life. But, and it was cool because I went on stage and I totally forgot that I, in the drive-in, there's a big, screen.
Yeah.
For the movies, that makes sense. It's just me and there's just this huge screen.
Oh, and your face
above
on
me,
it.
And just like the cameras follow me as I'm doing my bit,
oh,
and I'm hosting
cool.
the whole night. So it was just super fun. Like, but that's how that happened. So imagine first, like, okay, I'm gonna give it my all, and then start off great. I started doing shows, and boom, COVID. Then I did that, and then I would do any opportunity. I would perform anywhere and anywhere. I didn't care. And then I was.
How did you find the strength to fucking keep doing that? Like, how did you not get depressed if it was, like, so exhausting and...
I think something that my mom said. I could be that way.
Yeah.
It's a decision. The alternative is to not be that way.
It's just a choice.
And the same time will pass.
Yeah.
So, like, even the little time, like, me and my dad became cool when I was, like, 18. I remember he owns a painting company, and we painted one time when I was 18 years old for a whole summer, and I fucking hated it. And I would do a bad job. And I still would have to paint. It would hurt. It would be exhausting, actually.
Mm.
And he goes, "What? Why the hell does it look like this?" She goes, he goes, "Eric, do you know it takes the same energy to do it right and to do it wrong? So you might as well do it right."
That's so true.
You know what I mean? So like, yeah, that sinks in me. So these little things slowly, there are things that literally just click for me and that I've heard 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That I'm like, seriously, yeah, seriously. Like, you know, then I pitched the idea to El Jefe in Scottsdale. Because
I think it was at that show.
You want to know what you know what inspired that? I was watching a movie called Goodfellas.
Oh, I love Goodfellas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he takes her out and they go to the kitchen? Oh, table right here for you.
Yep.
It made me realize everyone's sitting down and they're enjoying a show. Mm-hmm. And these are like, this is a nightclub in New York City. You know, like this is like the thing. So I go, well, the clubs are open, but everyone has to sit down. You have to sit down. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have to sit down, you have to eat. You have to order something for the... And everybody's been dying to do fucking something than just listen to music and talk to their friends.
True. Yeah.
So I pitched the idea. I pitched the idea several times before COVID.
That was like right after COVID, right?
Yeah. It was like a year after.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, can we please do it? And they're like, what do you want to do? I was like, well, can we just negotiate my deal with them? And they were like, hey, what do we have to lose? You want to do it on a Wednesday? It's on a Wednesday.
It was packed as fuck.
We had to deny 30-something people that paid at the door and return all their money.
Wow.
So it was like, it was a testament to just the hustle and also my friends being there for me, man. I would be nothing without the people that support me and that reposted me and things like that. Like for my birthday, I'd be like, don't even shout me out. Can you just repost one of my clips? Like, that would be better, you know, for anything.
Engagement is huge. Yeah.
So, you already know how that is. So I did that. I was successful. And then literally I was just like I said, things, I started thinking of other things constantly, like, that I was in banking for many years and I was so unhappy. Although like the money was good, it was great money. I bought a house with it, I bought a car with it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not enough though.
Vacation, you know?
Yeah.
Towards last year, last year I left
corporate. So hold on, did you stay in banking while you were in?
Wow. Okay. So last year was I left corporate world.
Last year. And now you do comedy full time.
100%. That's what I do. And I'd rather even make less or the same or more. That's the thing. Like, I was speaking to Chris DeStefano about it. He goes, you'll be good at this once you know you would do it for free.
Yeah.
You know?
But the money can't buy you out.
This whole thing is just me telling random stories. But there's a story, man, that when I was like 21 years old, I was working in Manhattan on 66th Street and Broadway. I was making a little money selling furniture out there. And I had a suit that was maybe all of, you know, $200. And I went to a bar that drinks. I mean, this is 2009.
Mm-hmm. That was when the first market.
Yeah. It was just about to crash. It was just about to be hell. Oh, 2008, actually. Yo, 2008. That's right. 2008. It was just about to crash. And I went to a bar and I was like, okay, I got an American Express credit card. I thought I was hot shit. I
used to think I was hot shit at 21.
I sat next to some dude and I saw him like, oh, we're wearing a suit. But then I saw his suit. I'm like, it's so much nicer. Shit. And I looked at his watch. I'm like, is that Cartier? It's like, I looked at his shoes. I'm like, those red bottoms? Like, they were just like fancy ass shoes. And what's funny is that man will never know. Like, it literally changed everything for me. And I only thought of that last year when he told me that day. We're both trying to get at the same girl. I was a young 21-year-old. Wow. I was thin. I was cute. I got my fucking Christian Dior 3/4 length coat on that my mom found at Goodwill.
Okay, stylish.
Yo, it was beautiful. It was this like navy blue Christian Dior 3/4 length like coat. It went well with every suit. And I made sure when I folded it so you could see the Christian Dior on it.
Yeah.
And me and him were trying to talk to the same girl. It didn't happen. It didn't work. We laughed about it.
So she didn't take any of y'all?
No. Fuck you losers. Fuck the young one and the old one. He might have been his like 40s, late 40s at the time. Good looking guy. And I was always in habit at that time at 21. anybody who was older than me that were willing to talk to me, I would always say, can you give me advice? Like, wow. I'm like, what advice would you give yourself at 21? That was always my thing. Whatever age I was, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
You just crave knowledge.
And I remember he said something so fucking deep that I wasn't ready for it at the time. I thought it was cool at the time because I wrote it down on my phone. I wrote it down on my phone or something. And he said, advice. Okay, advice. Exactly how he said it. Okay. No amount of success can compensate for failure in the home.
Mm. Oh, wow.
He said, and it was the first time that he went from being very smiley about it
to very serious.
Mm-hmm. And his whole demeanor changed. So, Eric, I'm a wealthy man. You could tell, right? And I was like, yeah, it's fucking the watch. Yeah. I was like, yo, your suit's nice. My suit will light on fire and shit. You know, like.
You're a hot ass man.
Yo, and I was like, no amount of success can compensate for failure in the home. He goes, yeah, Eric, what does it matter that I make millions if my wife hates me?
Yeah.
What does it matter that I can buy anything I want, but my kids refuse to want to spend time with me for what money has led me to do? I lost my family because of success. Mm-hmm. So no amount of success can compensate for failure in the home. Mm-hmm. You got to be happy here before you can be happy out there. I remember I took out, like, okay. You know, I was like, you know, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But then I remember I spent the weekend with a celebrity comic. I had such a fucking great time. I ate, I drank with him. So happy.
Wait, can you tell us what celebrity comic it was?
Who, I think it was Giannis Papas.
Okay.
Giannis Papas, the first time. And I just like, I've been following him since 2011.
Yeah,
like,
big fan.
Huge fan. New York is huge, and he's huge now. And he's fucking, to me, one of the most talented people I know, or I think that I know, right, that I've met. And I finished the weekend. I went to work on Monday. So imagine, I'm hanging out with him. The guy I looked up to, watched on TV, subscribed to his podcast in 2018, 2019. And I was doing all these things, and I was taking him to the sneaker store. We went out to eat, and then we had lunch with Brendan Schaub. You know, it was another comedian, UFC fighter. And then with Brendan Schaub was the comic that I saw with my girlfriend that she went to school with.
Oh.
We all went full circle, you know.
Yeah,
but to me it was still an amazing weekend because he said, I remember you. It was a wild thing having all that, living on a high. Even at the Saturday night after our second show, I dropped him off at the condominium that the club provides them.
Yeah.
And I remember the last he didn't say shit about my comedy all weekend. The last weekend he was like, hey man, this one is good, like, you're good, man. It's good shit. And I was like, it's the best compliment ever, you know?
Mm.
And on Monday, I went to work to a place where they told me when I can take a piss.
Wait, they had to give you permission when
No, you know what I mean? Like, break time. Break time is this time. This is the only time you can go on break. Like, that's how much I really, like, looked at it. I'm like, you're telling me when I can eat food?
Yeah.
When I'm not hungry, I have to force feed myself and go back and put on this fake voice and go to work and say, how was your weekend, Betty? Oh, it was great. And put on this fake act.
Okay.
Literally that day is the day I remember no amount of success can compensate for failure in the home. And I said, fuck this place. Give me my 2 weeks. Thank you for everything that you provided me. And I bounced. And I did it. And I remember I posted it the other day about Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy goes, your plan B will be the reason that your plan A doesn't succeed. Having something to fall back on will always prevent you from actually reaching the goal of whatever you're trying to do.
I 100% believe
you. You know what I mean? I'm nowhere even close to what I want to be. I'm not even, I know it's years. And we'll look back on these shits and we'll laugh about it. It's years of what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to do it. Because I'd rather do that, maybe not make it, fail, whatever, if that is what happens, than to never know and then be in your deathbed, you know. There's like a book about Yeah, there's a book about this guy interviewed, I don't know how many people on their deathbed. That was the number one thing. It was not traveling enough and not doing what they love and not seeing their family. Not about the BMWs, not about the Mercedes-Benz, not about any of that stuff. It's about their family and close shit. So, fuck, let's try this. Okay. Do the podcast. Do this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Instagram. I don't understand why you keep showing me girls' nipples, but thank you. Hey, do whatever it is that you think that is useful to society.
Do what feels good for you. I know we're at
100%.
That's honestly a good note to end it on. At the end of the day, the comedian's journey is not promised. Nobody's fucking journey is promised. You could be a banker, like you're mm-hmm. saying, and fucking have your promotions in line, and they can decide to go with the next person.
Yeah. Would you rather fail at comedy? Or would you rather fail at your passion mm-hmm. or fail at some shit that you didn't even want to do to begin with?
Yep. That's true. Very true. And that's why I'm all in on this.
That's good.
You know? But it took me a while to get here. It took a lot of exploring and like trying to convince myself that this isn't what I wanted to do because this isn't where the money was.
And you'll see through every episode, you're gonna get more open to your audience. You're gonna be like, yo, one time my pinky toe was really ugly. I was embarrassed about it. It was not cute. I'm actually still very concerned about it.
Oh my God.
I say that because I have a big toe that's literally was smashed by a sliding door that came off the slide, and it's never been back to normal. It's like an evil toe. It's black. It's not. It's nasty as shit.
Did the nail fall off yet?
It's fallen off. It's grown back. It's grown fungus. It's come off. I picked at it.
It came back. It went away again.
I mean, it's like I have
it's like toxic X
or herpes on my toe. I don't know what it is, but this shit is. I'm like embarrassed to ever show. And I used to have a really nice big toe. I feel like those people be like, I used to have a really nice body.
I used to have a really nice
big toe. I used to have a really nice. You gotta believe. I'll show you pictures.
I took pictures before.
Now this shit looks like
sliding door.
This, like, my left toe, nice. It looks good. Went to nice school, has money in the bank, savings, 401k. This one commits murders. Like, it's been molested. It's been
through
a ringer, yo. Like, I don't like looking at that toe. I'm being serious. Like, this is not even whatever. You laugh, but.
Fucking you just serious. Gotta wrap it up. So if you ever want to wear your open toes,
yeah, I'm over there. I'm gonna wrap it up in the pool and shit. I wish it's cold forever. This is gonna suck.
I had a girlfriend who actually lost two of her big toes for going to Blue Chip Buffalo or something like that.
It's
where
you could ride a buffalo. Ride a bull.
Yeah, but there's like a bunch of cougars there. A bunch of like older, like, I don't know if that's the place.
Cool. I thought you meant like the animal.
Living cougars.
She lost toes to a cougar?
She lost two big toes. So we all went out and decided to try something new. We went to this club, and there was a bunch of cougars there. And when we hit the dance floor, they were not having it. They didn't want us there. It was not okay to be the young girls taking up on
How dare you?
How dare we? I know. Like, our skin, we got some snapback. How the fuck dare we? Anyways. Yeah, so we get on the dance floor, and these ladies are basically trying to, like, push and shove us, and they fucking stepped on her, I don't know how. She must have been,
with a heel to the toe?
Yeah, two, but both of her toes, both of her big toes were just
They must
gone.
Have practiced.
Yeah,
that's, they were just, that sounds fucking, that sounds very fucking strategic. Purposeful.
Like, yeah, how do you plan that?
Like, wait, all the young girls are here. We practice this at home for weeks.
Yeah, but her two big toes, they were bruised for weeks, and then they just fell off, and now they don't go back.
No, the toenails fell, not the toe. The
toenail, sorry.
Okay, because I was like, this woman went through, like, tragic anatomy, like,
about the same
difference.
It's you need your toe. When you lose your toenail, though, too.
I know. I always say that joke because, like, I dated a girl in college that had no pinky toenail. and she was like, she didn't care. She was really cute.
Some girls don't care.
She didn't care. I was like, yo, that shit looks like it's sick.
That looks like love.
That shit looks like Uncle Fester. Like, that shit is not good. It looks like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, shit not only got the little hump to it, but it's, like, got no nail on it. It looks ill.
I could tell you're not a foot guy.
It's not that I'm a foot. I mean, I also have eyes. I mean, I could see. You have feet, okay? No, that's weird. I remember she would like that I made fun of it. She's like, cool. And I like that. I almost like that. Somebody who could laugh it's at themselves. To,
yeah, you should
like laughing insecurities. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm overshare. Real quick, I knew a girl that grew one hair out of her nipple. It was so long.
Excuse me, just one?
And just one? No, just two. And here's the thing. I'd have more respect for her if it was, like, more around. But for just to have one, I was like, that, your nipple is lazy. Not only is it lazy, it's just, like, it's like.
It's underperforming.
Yeah, it's underperforming. And also, it's long. And I don't even think it matched, like, the hair on her head. I was like.
Was it a different color?
Yeah, I think it was like a brownish.
It was like a Katniss. Katniss Everdeen just fucking rebelling against
the Yeah, it was like a guy that was balding that put the little swoop of hair like right over here. Literally what it looked like.
Did she cover her nipple?
No, I took it off one time. I was like 21 years old.
How dare you?
And she was pissed.
I would have been upset.
She was like, I like it. I was like, you're fucking nuts, girl.
Let my nipple titties grow.
Fucking one hair nipple. No, the other titty was spectacular. The other titty went to school. That one either, I don't know what, a haircut. But
I guess that's a recommendation for bald people. Just fucking shave it.
Look, I'm not shaming people who have hairy nipples. Go do your thing. Hairy nipples, hairy. I mean, I'm from the Latin community where there's a lot of lower back hair. But this is the way they are. It's okay.
The better to grab them on,
too. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, baby, no. That's good. Catch the sweat to your ass, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sure there is some kind of strategic survival thing that happened. Anyways,
let's wrap it up.
Yeah, that was the original. That was, wow, an hour and 20 minutes. That was the, we haven't even gone to the altered state.
I know, we're just,
we're just gonna rip it with the,
yeah, I'm gonna do a line of blow real quick and then I'll do
the next one. That was the end of this episode. I'll see you guys next week.
That is all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with us here at the Donna Gift Show, where we chat about the relationship you have with yourself and others in order to help us make sense of the world. We release a new episode every week, and we would love to hear from you. Yep, we want you, the listeners, to submit any questions or topics you want us to discuss. So go ahead and go to my website, www.donnagift.com. That's D-A-N-N-A, gift, like a present, .com, and submit your questions. So you think it and we say it. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and I will see you on next week's episode.